Get it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, how are we doing out there today? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Okay, Okay, We're Listening. Tonight we'll be talking about the Me Too movement and what actually happened with the judge appointment for the judicial branch of United States of America, and how this particular judge got in, even though things that was accused of him about, and we're trying to discuss that of what responsibilities us men have and things of that nature. But before we get started, let me introduce my panel first, the lovely Odetta. How you doing, baby girl? Odetta,
hey,
what's good?
Hey now. Hey, everybody. Hope everyone had a great weekend. I did.
I did.
And we're ready to tackle tonight.
Yeah.
Last but certainly not least, we have Hamadi Martin. Welcome, Hamadi.
Yeah. I'm here.
What's up, my dude?
What's going on, everybody? What's going on? How you doing, Odetta? What's up, Greg?
What's good?
Well, I mean, we had gone over a couple of topics that we wanted to discuss, and I kind of bullied my way in on this topic, seeing how this whole country was pretty much thrust into a situation that was brought up during this judge's appointment to the highest court in the land. And it was a pretty serious, there were pretty serious accusations that were thrown at the judge from earlier in his days. And I mean, I listened to a lot of parts, and I think at first I was really looking at it, how a lot of us men do look at things. And as I started to listen more, it started to take on a different meaning to me personally. It started to help me realize just how sensitive, or how aggressive we can be, and how sensitive, how insensitive we can be to a female's feelings when even approaching, or even when having interaction with a female. So,
okay.
I've had time. Spent a lot of time with my daughters recently. I mean, every day, but I mean, besides the work thing, you know, that work thing takes up a lot of time, over 50, 60
That's
hours
right.
sometimes a week. So, yeah, it's crazy, that work thing. Bills, man, they just don't stop coming. But so being able to raise two young queens, you start to pay attention to certain things. Some things start to become unacceptable. You start to notice. Mm-hmm. And the question I always go back to in my head is, if this were my daughter, would this be acceptable?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So this has helped me change a lot in my life. So that's kind of why I wanted to take this. It's a big topic. It's a big subject. So probably going to jump around a lot, but there's a lot that goes into this. And it's really important that we not only get this message across that it's not okay, but we also have to get the message across that it's something that we need to be able to talk about like adults. A lot of the problems that we have in society today is because we're not able to communicate with each other. And that's really, really sad.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just have a basic conversation. No, it's very basic.
I get it. So where do you want to go with this, Amari?
Well, I guess where I really wanted to go with it is I wanted to pretty much have a discussion in regards to it. And I think a lot of it, let's start from the beginning, I guess. The beginning, there's so many layers to peel back from this. I mean, it's like an onion.
Yeah,
like,
you ain't lying.
We could talk
it's
about
so
this.
It's so normalized, I mean, right? It's normalized. Like,
absolutely, I agree.
A woman, like, it's expected for boys to be boys and do certain things. From, like, you know, grabbing a butt. How many dudes grab the butt, grab the boob. If you're on a bus, walking to a club, walking down the street, it's just like it's expected. which is sad. Because, you know, you're supposed to kind of expect that.
Really, I'm so glad that I can't really speak to the whole grabbing incidents. I was never really a grabber.
Coercing a female into something, you know, talking them into something. Maybe they really don't feel comfortable, but, you know, you're verbally just talking them like, come on. How many come ons have you gone through? When the first come on, you know, should be enough.
Well, yeah.
Doesn't always have to go as far as the rape. It's just a touch.
Well, yeah, like, that definitely. When it comes to the physicality of it, I believe that's something that's definitely controllable. The talking part has to do with basically knowledge. You know, if you don't, like, for example, I'm going to teach my daughter so that they understand. I'm going to mess up the game for all y'all dudes. I'm sorry. So I'm going to, my daughter,
mess it up.
Know, yeah, it's over, man. Forget it. Not happening. Not with my kids. So, like, it's just going to be different. It's going to be difficult. You know, we got all those crazy uncles that when you come to the door, you know, you got to get through this guy. You got to get through this guy, you know, for even, you know, talk to, you know, my daughters. I can already understand where this is headed. But the whole touching part, that's way off limits. That whole boys will be boys, kids will be kids. No, that's not going to happen. I mean, if it does happen, then the whole thing that I feel like people that's been lost is the accountability. I feel like with Bill Cosby, they did hold him accountable. I mean, regardless if he was America's favorite dad or if he was, you know, and if there was a ploy behind what him buying NBC, and there was a way that they wanted to stop him, or there's a way of, you know, teaching him a lesson and whatnot.
Have you seen that? I'm just curious to see that. I've heard it.
What do you mean? Have I seen what? That was factual. That was factual that he actually tried to buy NBC. I mean, you could do a quick Google search and you'll see that. Even has an article he did about it, an interview he did about it. But neither here nor there. I mean, people with power. I mean, even people without power, people that have a good game, that talk a good game. You know, it's easy to. It's literally easy. To, you know, say the right things to put somebody in a comfortable situation, to lower their just to.
You don't always have to say the right things. You can physically do the thing to put them in a position. You can take them physically to a place where they have no control. Like, it's not just a verbal mind fuck, like, oh, okay, I talked her out of tanning, like the perpetrator feels that way. No, it doesn't have to be that way.
When you say physical, what do you mean?
It can just be physically pick up, taken to a place.
You mean like against her own will, or you mean like mean against their will?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's an obvious no-no. I've never been in a situation where I needed to. I'm not being cocky or anything, but I've really never. If no was no, I mean, maybe it was because of the way my parents raised me. I'm sure that had a lot to do with it. But also, I was never in a situation where I had to force somebody to do anything. That would, to me, I'd feel like a very foul person if I actually had to force somebody to do something that I wanted to do willingly.
Yeah.
That just doesn't make any sense to somebody like me.
Yeah, but there are some people that just really don't see it that way. And they feel that they're physical.
Yeah, majority of men don't see it that way.
Can take what they want. Even if they're not asking for it, no female has to ask for it. She doesn't have to be in a skimpy anything. She doesn't have to be verbally told anything. She could be physically brought to a place and taken. And not always taken, just that trauma of that happening is more than enough. That's assault in itself.
Yeah, that's why you see all this
happening.
You're
touching someone without permission. Right. You're touching someone without permission. And that's why I brought up groping. When you're grabbing a booby, someone's butt or someone's breast, it's not innocent. It's not okay.
Well,
it's not cool,
problem.
But you're violating someone's space.
Right.
You're just walking down the street. I didn't do shit. I'm just walking down the street. And you're assaulting me.
I'll
and that's
take
why
it.
I think
I'll
people need
it.
To understand what it is, what sexual assault is. Doesn't mean that you're holding someone down and taking anything from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in some crazy scenario.
It.
Like, you know, you see it some crazy, you know, I'm not snatching someone off the street, you know, holding them down and taking it. No, it could be someone you know that's just sitting somewhere and someone decides that's what I want and that's what they do. And it's not always penetration. Like I said, it's just the trauma of that happening is damn assault. Again, and people need to understand that.
I think the way one
it's
of my
not
friends...
what you're telling your daughters. It's not what you, you know, you can definitely teach them and show them the way and do your best in trying to tell them to protect themselves. But people, right, accountability, it needs to go every way, not just one way.
Well, I definitely agree with that. I think that another way that somebody helped explain it to me was for the guys that don't really understand about how awkward you make the women feel. Imagine if a homosexual male was hitting on you constantly, like, yo, son, you looking nice today. Like, how would you feel?
Right, and that, no, I'm good.
And that,
I'm okay.
And that immediately made me understand, you know, how the simplest compliment can turn into something that's not warranted at a certain time in a certain place. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I mean, this has been a very eye-opening experience for me personally, and I think that's really one of the reasons why I wanted to do this show. And I think that it all goes back to what I always discuss on a pretty much daily basis whenever I talk to people. It's about respecting each other. And I, you know, I'll always give you the same type of energy that you're giving me. That respect will come first until you know, change our relationship. That's just me with every interaction with a human being, honestly. But I think, honestly, though, it starts with respecting each other. And hopefully, another thing I'm hoping that it'll lead into, if men can start really understanding a woman's position, because it seems to always be, and I hate to intertwine movements, but, you know, this also has to do with a lot of maybe white people also understand a Black Lives Matter movement as well. Because this is not something that they understand. You know, this is something that you really need. Mm-hmm. If you can sit down and be patient enough to take your time to understand a woman's perspective, then why wouldn't you be able to apply the same situation in a Black man or a colored man, colored female, colored child's perspective when it comes to interaction with law enforcement or, of course, dealing with white supremacy or being in a position of power, being an oppressor. So, I hope it does turn into something that we can all talk about. Odette, I wanted to hear a little bit about you don't necessarily have to get into anything personal, but I wanted you to share from a woman's perspective some of the things that men might not understand that are actually awkward or
is that
aggressive.
No really means no. And that's it. Like, you just stop at no. Like, okay. All right, I don't care if you butt naked, booty naked, making out, you right there. If she just says no, like, all right, chop that up. You know, and let it go.
What about from a young girl's perspective, Odetta?
Yeah, is your daughter there? Your daughter there?
I'm like, her? Oh, she is.
She's,
I don't know.
Yeah,
she wants
she's fire. Imani is fire.
She
she's
wants
straight
to, engage. We should have discussed that prior to the show.
No, so there's got to be some type
but
of laughter
involved. But I brought up
the
whole
show.
Thing of picking someone up and bringing them to a place, because that is what I experienced as a young female.
Wow.
At like 17 years old, I just went to a friend's house, and someone decided that I'm what they wanted. Not that I went there for them. It was just, you know, just hanging out. And he physically brought me to a place to try to take that from me. Fortunately, I walked away without being, you know, like, penetrated and violated. But
right.
This is trauma of that and getting out of that.
Yeah.
It's traumatic. And I was 17. I'm 41 now. And I'm trying not to cry about it. Like,
it still bothers you. Absolutely.
Right. So seeing the whole nomination process go on, you understand it. It's over 20 years ago, and still I'm trying not to cry about it.
Yeah, that was. I think that was the other thing
not
that really hit home.
Control over your body—that's—it's very traumatic.
Imani,
I think the other thing,
statistics I wanted to talk about, and it comes with that too. That's why I brought up the children stuff. You know, I started reading this in another episode that we had before. about the 12 different things you need to look out for as a parent when you're dealing with sexual predators and things of that nature. And I just want to read some of them to you guys. It says approximately 20% of girls, 1 in 5, and 8% of boys, 1 in 12.5, will be sexually abused before the 18th birthday. Number 2, 95% of sexual abused children will be abused by someone they know and trust. Number 3, of these molesting, of those molesting a child under 6, 50% were family members. Family members also accounted for 23% of those abusing children in the age of 12 to 17. The most vulnerable age for children, this is number 4, the most vulnerable age for children to be exposed to sexual assault is between the ages of 3 and 8 years old. Number 5, males make up 90% of adult child sexual assault predators, while 3.9% of the predators will be female. Number 6, as many as 40% of children who are sexually abused are abused by older, more powerful children. So it's not necessarily, you know, parents or uncles adult. Doing it. It could be an older cousin to be doing this to you as well, too.
Right.
And they're just more powerful. And when they actually do that, nobody's actually believing them. Number 7,
right.
84% of
sexual... And they've
probably
been assaulted as well to learn the behavior.
Absolutely, and it's a trickle-down effect. Number 7, 84% of sexual victimizations of children under 12 occur in a residence. Number 8, 98% of child abuse cases reported to officials. Children's statements were found to be true. Okay, that's 98%. Whenever the child says this is happening, most likely it's true. Number 9, 1 in 3 adults would not believe a child if they disclose sexual abuse. 1 in 3 adults. So a lot of times you see these children want to talk or a woman want to talk, but nobody's believing them because they might think they're too bullish, they might too fast. And that just brings up more trauma for that particular person. 73% of child victims do not tell anyone about their abuse for at least 1 year. 45% do not tell anyone for 5 years. Some never disclose. Number 11, survivors of childhood sexual abuse are 10 to 13 times more likely to attempt suicide. Number 12, children living without either parent, foster children, are 10 times more likely to be sexually abused than children who live with both biological parents. So I just brought this up because, you know, we speak on this, and my wife and I, we talk about this all the time. Like, hey, should we let this person watch our child? We let this person watch our child. We're very cautious about that. And how do we actually handle that? You know, it's more than a screening process. And once I see that my daughter goes to a different type of level of thought or her confidence change, I'm directly in her, hey, babe, what happened with you? Anything
flag.
Going on
What's
with
going
you?
On?
Do you
okay?
want
do you right.
want to talk about something? Somebody did something to you? God, I don't even care. She hints at anybody that did something to him. I'm at their front door. I want to magically believe in the child because there's no reason why a child come with that kind of imagination for no reason.
Right. It's right. You think about those percentages. You think about all the people that are silent and haven't said anything. Like, I've never shared that with anyone. You guys are the, well, and the whole everybody listening. You're like the third person I've ever told that to.
Right. But that's
so
an interesting
like,
thing. We don't think about that. That as men, you know, we have to bring this to the forefront because men don't think about it. We just see a beautiful woman, and we want to talk to them. We don't know that any emotional baggage or trauma they actually have in their childhood or even last week. We just think about, oh, she looks good in that outfit. Her hair looks nice. I want to get
that. Okay, right. She got it. Right.
I think Alana from our Facebook group, okay, we're listening. My sister from Jack and Jill, Alana Mitchell, I think she hit it head on by reiterating what Odetta said, when no means no. It's very important that men understand that. I mean, like I said before, I mean, to me that's foreign. Like, I mean, to me that would just kill the whole moment anyway. I don't know why it would even be discussion go further. But it's just...
I think the issue,
Amadi,
when a woman says no, Amadi, you know, a lot of guys come up with game now. It's time to put it in our game
and
see how we can convince
you. Yeah, you know,
yeah,
I love
that's,
you.
That's the issue that brings
the coercion,
up another problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, that's assault. Like, yeah. Google it.
And we as men don't think about it like that. We think about we have a smooth tongue, and then we could talk to you and get you to open up.
Right.
Well, you're talking about,
it's normalized. That's
how he was. Well, you're talking about he was basically, I'm sorry, hold on a second. I lost my train of thought.
Oh, I keep on going. Yeah, it's like TV. TV teaches you this. You know, you got the smooth
pimp.
This is how I talk to
the
woman.
It's society.
The woman's going to respond this way.
This is how it goes.
And that's why these actors are getting chained down real quick. Yeah, go ahead.
Greg, so what I want to say is it now, is it assault? When you say smooth talking, is it smooth talking just by talking? Or is it, are you physically trying to hold somebody down? You understand what I'm saying?
No, that's
when you're
like
verbally
basically
trying to coerce the wind.
So let me ask you.
You know when enough is up. Like, I don't want to. No, I don't want to. Can it be a three-strike rule or something? Like, just no is no. And that should be it.
At that point, we should probably just leave then, right? Like, you should go, I should go.
Move on. Let it go. Because you don't know how she's receiving it. I don't know what you're saying. You know, you think you just dropped a smooth line, and she's still violated. Come on, you look like you.
Well, I think it's important that we have this discussion as adults so that we can, since it's important that we pass this information off to our children and to the next generation.
Because
this discussion that we're having right now.
School.
Well, Greg, the discussion we're having right now will be something that I will pass down to my son as well. If he's ever in a situation and a female says no, that's the end of your game also. That's not just the end of you talk to her or trying to get it in. That's, okay, I respect that. And, you know, at this point, then I'm just going to move on. Because at that point,
no pressure.
You're going to be uncomfortable. And you've already made her uncomfortable, you know. And I think at that point, then y'all just shut it down. And if she feels like she needs to leave, then let her leave, get out that situation.
Right.
You know, and y'all come back to it. And as a responsible people, y'all can come back and have that discussion. I just think there needs to be more accountability, more responsibility held by the parties that are involved instead of passing it off. So you made a bad decision. Whoever made a bad decision, rather, was the guy that made the bad decision to keep on pressing the issue when she said no, which is obviously the first part. Or it was, you know, the woman that that basically sat there and, you know, and not really her fault, obviously not her fault for sitting there and taking it, but for not making it, you know, as clear. Like I said, both people have to play some type of part, because I've been in situations, like I said, that I've turned into relationships where I've been in situations where it might have been a no, but then it turned into a yes. You know what I'm saying? And that might have turned into, you know, a year or 2 years of being together with somebody. When you're younger, you know, you're not as responsible nearly at 20 as you are at 40.
Right. But
you're right.
But
we have to be
careful. It is. And like I said, I have grown friends, dudes, that have come to me like I really didn't understand what sexual assault was. And like I said, was really passive with it. Like, oh, you know, you're cool, you know, talking her into it. You're doing this. Or guys running trains. Like, we know the history of what you do as teens. Like, did she really want it? Was she there for that? Or was she talked into it? Was she pressured into it? Or you participated in it? There are a lot of instances, a lot of things that have happened that has been a lot of assault going on. A lot of charges should be pressed.
There's a lot of people in Spring Valley that can't run for office.
Right.
No, but Amari,
right.
You said an interesting thing,
Amari. I think it's so light.
You said an interesting thing. You said you're teaching your son. Yeah, we have to be able to teach our boys because, once again, when we go to school, they're not teaching us about sexual abuse or what kind of responsibilities men have in that. Also, if you're a man and you're talking to a woman, most likely, well, for Amadi and myself, you're probably bigger than a woman. So even if she says no and she wants to leave, she's probably scared to leave because of how big you are, your stature. So we have to be able to teach our sons, our nephews, our little cousins that, hey, once you
to
feel
you.
Like it's uncomfortable for her, you have to make it easy for her to get away from you. Not to be something that you put in her entrapment or say, hey, baby girl, you know, I love you.
Right.
If you love me, you do this for me, da-da-da-da-da-da. You have to be able to let them feel comfortable to leave and get away safely instead of just blocking the door. A lot of men do that.
Exactly.
Just block the door. Like, nah, you ain't doing nothing. Where
like,
you going,
come on,
huh?
Come on, right.
Oh, you know what, Greg?
Yeah.
You know what also is a very big tool, which I've also come to understand and respect. It has to do with your upbringing as well. For example, it's what you see as a child. So the things that I saw as a child, my parents married for 30 plus some odd years. You know, I never saw my dad put his hands on my mom, never saw my, unless it was to kiss or hug her. I never saw my dad treat my mom as anything less than a queen. So that's how I, you know, envisioned, I mean, every relationship that I went into. I mean, things started changing as I got older, and I started, I guess you could
hanging
say, the company you keep. No, no, you weren't as bad because we were on a mission. It was different. Back then, we was on a mission, and that mission wasn't, it wasn't forceful, honestly.
Nah,
it was like
it
you said, and like the things that Odette is talking about right now, that refers a lot to us, Greg, honestly, because
no,
it wasn't
absolutely.
That we were doing it forcefully. It was that we had a slick tongue. Pause. Like, we literally could, I could literally talk the drawers right off of you. And it wasn't, it wasn't like, you know, I'm not patting ourselves on
that
the back by any means, but, huh?
That was my mission back in the day.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And since you were my mentor, that's kind of how, you know, that's, you know, the apple didn't fall far from the tree. So that was the mission. You know, whatever else happened, you know, you just kept talking. You just kept talking, you know, and, but,
like,
you know, the way we were
born. You know,
it wasn't a
like
bunch of no's,
forceful.
Honestly. That's
it's just talking, getting to know somebody. Right.
Yeah, you're right, Odetta, because back in those days, it was, well, for us, you know, we didn't, I was never putting anybody in that situation. I would have felt horrible. I really felt horrible. I was like that, you know what I'm saying? I was literally like that. So, you know, until I became a little bit older, but.
I'm with Odetta.
But
like Odetta's saying, the normalization of stuff. Like, you look at Teddy Pettigrew's song, talking about come home with me, come over to my place, and the girls can go say, no, I don't think so. I'm uncomfortable with that. It's no pressure. You're like, yeah, it's no pressure, baby. Just come on through. And the song is a hit. So we've been taught that that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be smooth like Teddy Pettigrew.
Well, that's where I'm headed, Greg.
Right.
That's where I was headed. So, like, when things changed as I started getting older, listening to the music, the friends I started hanging out with changed. My tendencies started changing. You know, then that was a major influence, you know? And there's a lot of outside influence that weren't, you know, besides my family, which influenced the way that I started treating women, you know? And with, like you said, what was the goal? The goal was to get some boxes.
And I should be able to come over to your place and chill.
Right.
I shouldn't be forcing
you
to my panties.
No, you don't have to worry about that. You keep those on. Please keep those on. My kids don't need to see that. Yeah, keep those
on. Keep my
drawers
on.
Yeah, keep them on. Enjoy, love.
Keep my drawers on.
Yeah, by all means.
I know somebody that
likes
it. Yo, stop it. Talk to me nice.
I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, so everything has been going on. I have a question. Have you ever opened up a conversation with you and your friends? Or
since this happened?
Stimulated the conversation, right? Since the whole nomination.
Well, that is the reason why
that
I made
went
up
on
this
with
show.
Kavanaugh.
This is the reason why I made up.
I
want to
know, like,
this
what the dialogue was, like, what I expressed, what I've heard from my male friends. So I'm asking you guys, like, what has the conversation been?
This conversation always been happening with me. I've seen a
lot
of
started.
This happening.
It wasn't.
No, I've been seeing this for years. And that's why, like I said, this is the reason why I came to Amadi and said, Amadi, we need to do something for the ladies, because a lot of men are doing ladies dirty, and we need to stop. So this is a conversation I've been having. So when people come to me,
I
just automatically break that down to them. I'm like, yo, we got to stop this, because, you know, a lot of these women that are traumatized from childhood up, and we're just adding to it because we are ignorant and we don't want to learn anything about this.
Yo, Greg, then on top of it, we're fighting each other to have understanding of the situation. And it's like, yo, hold up. And this is one of the things that I learned, and it could be possibly by, you know what I really learned? I learned to listen when I got arrested a lot. Getting arrested a lot and having to listen to the CO, that'll teach you to listen. I'm going to tell you that right now. When somebody closes that gate.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You
yeah, when somebody closes that gate and then they tell you, you know, when you can pee and when you could do that, yo, that's special right there. So, you know, I had a lot of time to think. And when I was sitting there thinking, I'm sitting there, I'm like, yo, you know what? Like, you can listen to people now. So a lot of times when it comes to females, and even when they might be talking about something that might be nothing to you, but you sit there and you listen, you know what I mean? Because most of the time people want to talk. People want to tell their story. So you start to become a better listener. Then you become a better guy. You become a better man.
You learn, right?
A lot of
listen and learn.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry.
I mean, I, I've learned a lot by listening to you, Odetta, honestly. You know, there's times
I haven't learned
where,
anything from listening to you, Odetta.
That's good
right.
enough.
So there's
Virgo,
times
you think
there,
you,
you do too.
True.
I'm sorry about it.
We didn't even hit the 40-minute mark yet, and I'm trying to spit some knowledge real quick, God.
Go ahead.
You're roping us in.
Got 9 minutes to that.
You ruffling my feathers, bro. But on a serious note, like, you know, you start to when you came to approach me, Greg, and you were like, listen, I want to do something for the ladies. I was already on my community activism, you know, working with the kids in East Ramapo and, you know, going out to Flint and going down to Florida after Hurricane Maria. And so I was already in that mind frame. I was already in a relationship, had 2 kids, you know, there were a lot going on at the time in terms of building a family structure and starting to realize, you know, after losing my father, it was like, it's really up to me. It's up to me to mold what I want the future to be like. And it wasn't just with my kids, but what really started to scare me, honestly, not to get away from the topic, but it was the kids that hung out with my kids. And the kids that were hanging out with my kids, it was like, all right, it wasn't even a question because I guess your mind for a second, do you correct the kids that hang out with your friends? And then it automatically clicked in my head, like, hell yeah, you correct them. You correct them just like you would correct anybody else, anywhere else that you would normally. Because that's what I would do, honestly. Even if I'm holding the door for somebody, I think that people need correction. If I'm holding the door and you don't say, you know, thank you, hey, whoa, where are you going? Hold on.
You're welcome.
Come here. Because it's almost my dad was like that. Like he felt like he needed to not as much as I do. I probably go out my way to do it, but like he would make sure that he corrected me no matter what else was going on. He held me accountable. And I think that was a big part of my upbringing. And when he passed, I realized that I had more responsibility. And it wasn't just about holding, you know, the kids accountable. It was also about holding myself accountable and realizing that instead of just talking about it, the kids are going to be watching your actions.
You got to be about it.
With this relationship I'm in now, I have 2 daughters that live with me that are watching our interactions on a daily basis. And, you know, how I treat their mother is going to basically dictate how they find a love.
Sorry, Marty, we got a phone call coming in, man. Let's see what the caller has to say. Thank you for calling. Okay, we're listening. You're on the air. Say your name and where you're from, and what do you have to add to this topic?
Hey, man, this is Jason, man.
Hey, Jason, how you doing,
I'm doing all right, man. I must commend you guys. This topic is a serious topic. I'm a father of 3 sons, like I said, 19, 16, and 7.
Mm-hmm.
I was a young man I was a young man who was raised in domestic violence, so I seen things that my father did to my mom that a young boy should never see. But it's funny, I'm going to give you something recent, right? My 16-year-old went on a homecoming, and all my sons at one point in time went to private school and all graduated from private school. So my 16-year-old went to a homecoming last week. The wife called me, and she said, guess what? I said, what? I'm at work, mind you, and such and such. The mom called me and said she had a hickey on her neck. And I was like, oh, shoot. You know, normally a father hear that, you know, I guess some father would pound their chest. But for some reason,
okay,
I got nervous.
Get it.
I got nervous because my first question was to my wife was it mutual? Was it violent? You know what I'm saying? Was it... You know what I mean? If you don't know what I'm trying to say. I was like,
what's
the
story, right? Like, did he forcefully do this? Or did
they
willingly, did she receive
to
it?
This thing here.
Right.
And when my wife told me, the mother said, yes, it was voluntary. It was, they both agreed to it. You know what I'm saying? I was so elated, like, oh, my God. You know what I'm saying? But I had to sit my son down because I usually talk to them about this stuff. I talk to them about various things. Whether women choose to put their hands on them or respect, you know, and I have to talk to my son about that. I said, listen, son, I said, yo, you have to understand, man. I said, first and foremost, I always tell you, a no can shift, or if she say yes, it can shift to a no. If you are going and it shifts to a no, it's a no. It's not
right.
a it's not a
that.
No mm-hmm. and you it's not a yes and she said no, you keep going. It's a
mm-hmm.
yes, no. So once she says no, it's no. No matter if
mm-hmm.
she said yes, you know, and I had to talk
she started
to her about
with a yes, she come with a no, respect
yes.
it.
Hey,
but
Jason,
I
let me ask you a question,
everyone's
Jason.
Everyone's okay. Like, everyone's
go
good.
Ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
Let me ask you a question. So with that scenario that you just brought up, if a woman does say no to your son, how does he allow her to get out that situation? Have you taught him any techniques that allow her to feel comfortable
yeah, because
to walk
what
away?
What I talked to, I got into the topic of, I got deeper with it because I explained
yeah.
to him the role of a father and a daughter. And usually
yeah.
a father in regards to a daughter, his job is to make sure his daughter's sanctity is maintained. So
mm-hmm.
when she becomes an adult one day, her sanctity is available for her husband if she chooses.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And another
mm-hmm.
thing, I was like, listen, son. I said, listen, I had to tell him, like, listen, part of you being a young man, you can't let your urge dictate you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't let your urge dictate what you do. Because at the end,
can't
you
think
have
your little
to think.
Head.
Not,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to think. You not only have to think for yourself, you have to think about her. Because the next
right.
morning, you have to have a conversation with her parents about that hickey. So you have
right.
to think. You have to think like that. Like, okay, not only I have to think about me, but I have to think.
I have to answer
what
to
about
her,
her
parents,
you know
my parents.
So,
mm-hmm.
and then on top of that, I had to tell them, I said, yo, hickey going to lead to other things. And I'm telling
sure
you,
do.
Mentally, none of y'all are ready for that.
Right.
Okay.
None of y'all are ready for that. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, it's a great topic, man. When I think I commented
mm-hmm.
when I saw you guys, you know,
Mike,
told
thank
this
you.
Topic, man. Because, you know, no is no, man. And even as she says yes, once she says no is no. Me personally, I was a shy guy when it comes to females. I was a fighter growing up a little bit. But when it comes to females, I was very shy. I always like to be invited. That's the thing with me. I like invitations.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing better than when someone invited me and said, come in, or you can come
right.
in.
Right. This is
or,
what I want.
You know
yes.
what I'm saying? I didn't
I
like.
Welcome.
I didn't like to take. I'm not a, you know. Now, if you're trying to take my money, we got something going. You know what I'm saying? That's different. But when it comes to females, I like invitation, and I always.
Right.
I always
that's
like to
a good
be
way
invited.
To put it too.
And Jason, okay. I'm gonna thank you for calling in, Jay, real quick. I'm gonna piggyback off of what you said in terms of
thanks, Jason.
He's very important to teach our sons,
thank you, Jason.
Our daughters. Very important to teach our sons and our daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And a point that Tiffany brought up to me the other day when we were talking about this is that don't wait until you have daughters to teach your daughters, and don't wait till your friends have daughters or anything like that, you know, teach whoever's around you, as a matter of fact. This is not
right.
something that needs to be just confined to one
Tiffany.
Group of people, one set of people. This will make the world a better place
yeah.
to live in, honestly.
Right.
Tiffany.
Make all that
Tiffany.
Normal bullshit not normal, no longer normal. It's not what you do. It's not okay. Not to be
yeah,
passive.
And I still don't know who Tiffany is.
What?
You said Tiffany told you. Who the heck is Tiffany?
Your wife.
Oh, my wife, Tiffany. Okay.
Yeah.
Continue.
Sorry,
I'm sorry. You just brought
Tiffany
somebody
is.
Up. I didn't know who hey, that
Tiff.
Is.
Yo, I told you. When you had that surgery, bro, the doctors crossed your wires, bro.
I guess
brain shot. I don't know.
I just asked a question.
Sounds like your wires
question.
Are crossed.
Yeah, I know.
Yo.
I know.
Wow.
You just bring up people that nobody knows.
Right.
Oh, my God, bro.
Yeah, make sure the listeners understand.
My bad. Hey, listen, hold. All right.
It's
okay,
the 40-minute mark,
buddy. This is what we're talking about, Greg. You're being aggressive. You know, you're being
towards
very
you,
aggressive.
Towards
and,
you.
You know,
towards you.
Towards
mm.
Right. That's right.
Hello.
Towards me. And I'm going to shut all that down. Oh,
shut it down. Shut it down.
Shut it down. No, but I mean, in all honesty, and I want to say that, and Greg, I'm going to tell you, share a little bit
yeah.
with you, man. During your time in need, your wife was a stand-up human being.
Yeah.
I've never seen anybody with so much devotion to somebody else.
When I had my stroke.
When you had your stroke. I apologize for the rest of the listeners that don't know that my big brother had an aneurysm. He's one of the 8% that survived, 22%, some ridiculously low number like that.
Yeah, cool.
And he's on a path to getting back to as normal as he was. What's normal for him, I guess you could say. And we want to encourage his wife, Tiffany, and Greg, of course, to keep on pushing and to get back to, like I said, normal status for what Greg Graham is.
His normal, right.
That was a very, very trying time. I mean,
appreciate
I was down there firsthand. And, yeah, man, I can get all emotional. But
I'm
going to
have a great
night
with the wife, man, because you did that. Good job, Monty. Appreciate it.
That's right. That's what bros do, right? That's what bros do.
Fill it up. Now Odette is rolling through her phone trying to figure it out tonight.
Word, I was like, wait, what about me?
Scrolling.
No. Yes, him. Oh, him.
Oh, let's see. I hope Gene hits me up first.
Poppy.
All right. Oh, yeah, well, Poppy. My bad. My bad. I don't even know these dudes. But listen, more importantly, though, I think that we tackled a very important topic here. Mm-hmm. I'm not ending the show by any means, but before the show does end, I just want to say thank you, Greg. Thank you, Tiffany. Thank you, Odetta, for allowing me to just kind of bully the topic on the show, because we had originally had another topic set up for tonight, which we will get to next week. I believe it'll be cuffing season. I believe that's what we're going into next.
I still don't know what that means.
You're going to learn.
We're going to get into that next week.
I don't know about that.
Well, you're also married. So you're like officially cuffed.
First
of all, like,
don't
yeah.
Hook me up, Greg. Come on,
I'm
man.
Sorry.
Like
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You're literally doing a life bit.
He did a life bid.
Yeah, literally.
He's a lifer.
Second life bid.
Don't talk about it.
Yeah.
You on yours too.
Yeah, like, he's just leaving county. He's leaving county right now. He's about to go upstate. He's about to go upstate, so he's leaving county. He's in the bus trip now.
Dad, we're going to find you one. Don't worry, man. Listen, you just keep doing the show with us. We'll find you one.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, if you keep doing the show, enough people will be listening. You know, they'll feel your pain.
You promise.
Plus, it's starting to get cold. Plus, it's starting to get cold, so somebody's going to need somewhere to sleep. So.
No, I want to visit. Don't come over here. I want to venture out. I got a car and gas.
but that's not how it goes. That's not how cuffing goes.
I guess we explain next week. But we explain that next week. Amadi, what about anything else that you want to talk about this particular topic we're on now?
Well, the only other thing that I really wanted to add to it, honestly, is what I wanted to get into before we closed out was the time. Right. I have a real problem with the people that say, this was, for example, with nominee Cat. Well, he's now a judge. He's on the Supreme Court, right?
Supreme Court
Judge Kavanaugh. Is that? Oh, that was when that happened. If it happened, was 35 years ago. So check this out, homeboy. Right. So check this out, right? So I got daughters. Like I said before, one's 9, the other one's 2. If something ever crazy enough happened, I wouldn't care if it was 50 years later. Or if it
There's
was
no
10 hours later,
right.
This ass whipping that's coming to you, this whatever is going to happen to you, that's going to happen to you, there's no expiration date on this. I'll be outside while you're taking the garbage out type of ass whipping. You understand what I'm saying? 5 in the morning, you're getting ready to go to work. I'm outside next to your car waiting for you. And I'm probably going to try to do the same thing, I'm not going to go that far, because I used to have dudes that, did some time, and they'd be like, the same thing you did to my daughter, I'm going to do to you. I'm not trying to do that. Yeah, but I'm not trying to do that.
Amadi, more importantly, we got to think about it, that this guy is about to get the best job of his life, and then hit the wake of what he has done, I don't care if it's 35, 40 years ago, still could be traumatizing to this person. They see this person on the news, on TV.
It is.
Oh, I'm about to become this particular person.
It is.
Greg,
right.
It was.
It was.
She said it. She said the thing that she remembered was the laughter. That's crazy. The laughter from when she was, 17 years old, bro? She's obviously into her 60s, right?
Marty, you got to believe it. Yeah, you got to believe that because any significant crazy thing that happened in your life, you can remember every detail.
Any trauma.
I don't care how long.
Any trauma, you're going to remember that trauma.
Going to remember it. To the last detail, even more close you.
Well, and the other thing that it's a whole other topic for a whole other show is the whole attitude. This goes back to the energy that the president is giving off, that America is emitting right now, and it's the whole like afterwards how he ridiculed her. You know, like he was basically parading like,
You wonder why she didn't say anything. Like, you wonder.
That's
like,
a typical
why
man answer.
Oh, come on.
That's what I'm saying. That's a huge problem. Yeah, you wonder why more women don't come forward because now they get knocked down. And now, you know, she's got a scarlet letter on her. You know, I mean, she's always going to be looked at. And the crazy part, this is the crazy part to me, right? So even as I watch, there's women that are sympathizing with Judge Kavanaugh, and they're like,
I watched a woman in front of her two young daughters. Just excuse it, like, what's a little, you know? Come on.
And I'm not, and listen, I'm not saying. And you know what's crazy, Odetta? I'm not even saying that the man raped her. You understand what I'm saying? Because we don't know the facts. She doesn't, you know, remember everything she said. But what I'm saying is, this man is about to be put on the highest court land.
I saw him sworn in.
For life.
He was.
And yes, for life. This is a life bid.
Yes.
And then watching his testimony and the way that he was so Trump-esque. Just the way his mannerisms, his demeanor, he was so angry.
Questions.
So aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was by far he was so defensive. So defensive, and it was just like, if you would stop for a second and listen to what she's saying, you know, nobody's holding you accountable in terms of setting you to jail or anything like that.
Right.
We're simply asking you to admit if it happened, if you remember it, and your part in it. And that really made me think about our part as a man, the part that men play. With not just with the physical part, but like you said, Odetta, with the discussion, with the constant wordplay, with the constant maneuvering ourselves into position to talk throughout.
Right. And did he remember it? It could just be so normal. It's what happened. You went out, you party. This is what happened. You got a girl up. They said okay. They didn't say okay. Whatever. I got it.
That's the real problem we have as men. Go ahead, Odetta. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, that was it.
The real problem we have as men is that we don't respect things that we think we dominated. Like, if we have sex with a woman and we did all this stuff to her, all this freaking nasty stuff to her, and she allowed that to happen, we're not going to have a decent conversation with her because we think of her as being less of a woman. And that's not true. She allowed you to have it. She was the one in control all that particular time because any given moment
she
said,
permitted
stop,
it
that's
to
not
go down.
Work.
Like, this is what I wanted.
Yeah.
Right.
This is what I wanted.
When you
want
it, we
look
got
at
it.
Like, oh, she's nasty. I can't deal with her. She can't think properly. What? Like, that's what I want.
We had a good time. Like,
we had a great time. And then afterwards, I could speak to you. I could talk to you as a person. I'm not even looking at you as a female anymore. I'm looking at you as a person.
A lot of men can't do that.
Like a lot of professional women now that are in charge, they go and do those things. They go back to work the next day. They back being CEO, CIO, whatever, at an old corporation, and they feel great about it. Why can't we as men? I think that's what we need to be more teaching our young men. It's like, regardless of what you do with the woman, she's allowing you to do it. So why would you lose self-respect?
The perception is that it's your control. Oh, I'll let her do that. Oh, I made her do that. Like, no, we have control over our own bodies.
At all times.
And we do what we want to do at every time and point in our lives. Every time we breathe in, we control this. And that's what's not received is that we control this. It's that we control relationships. We control if we're going to be a wife or not. We control everything. All that.
Like I said, relationships in a previous episode, relationships are more tailored towards women. Because if the relationship was tailored toward men, it would be totally different. We are going after your game and trying to fill in your needs, and you're trying to fill ours. But the problem is that we as men get caught in our own imaginations and think this is what we did. This is what we are so strong and powerful. And this is mine. This is mine. Whose is this? Whose is this? Whose is this? And women don't even do
that. Like, yeah, it's yours. It's yours.
Yeah, and they're like, and it make you feel happy.
That's
you stroke your ego.
To you. Right.
Exactly, but we don't. We don't realize
y'all
that.
Y'all
not
gonna get me a man talking to y'all. Y'all not gonna get me a man talking to y'all.
Just stay on the show, man.
I'm
relax.
Just saying. I'm just
relax.
Saying. I'm
we got you.
Too much. Smile
we got
around.
You, man.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Sorry, I had a moment.
Now you did have a moment. I'm glad you did.
I did. I was like, wait, you're talking way too much. But yeah.
She finally opened up about it. She's there.
Yeah, I know.
It's a great moment.
So
okay,
anyway,
listen to
so, back to the show.
Yeah, go back to the show, Odetta.
Wait, no, I was giving it to you. That was a passing mic.
Oh, I gotta grab the mic.
Go
I gotta grab it back.
Go, Greg.
You grab the mic, Odetta.
Go, Greg. Nope.
Yeah. You,
right
Odetta.
You. All right. So, okay, I have one quick question before we get to our last couple minutes. What can we share with the youth, fellas? Like, what can you tell young men? Things to do, what not to do. You know, share some stuff, some jewels.
Somebody go first, please. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Question again? Somebody's texting me. I apologize.
No, I'll go first. What you guys can do with us, Odetta, is basically not play around with it. You know, when you say no, don't joke around because we get kind of lost. And I'm not saying that it's your responsibility to get us found, but if you're serious about a particular thing, we take seriousness seriously. So if you say
right,
no,
don't play.
No, don't play with it. Don't be like, no, maybe if you do that. No. Just be like, yo, dude, this is not that type of party. You need to move on. If you can't move on, you know, I'm calling the police officers. You got to keep it real 100 with them. Because once you do that, everything starts cooking in his head. But once you say, no, we can watch some TV. Oh, okay. Then 5 minutes later, I'm going to try
cuddling.
Again.
Cuddling. Right.
There you go.
Right.
Marty.
Well, that's interesting that you just said that, and it kind of caught me off guard when you said call the police, because that brings up another topic that's for another show. So I'm not really too comfortable about calling the police. There's got to be someone else that you can call. I don't know. I'm not making light of any situation, but I mean, God, man. I mean, it's such a crazy climate that we live in America in this day and age, especially speaking to young black men. You know, I mean, it's, God, you call the police on them, you never know what's going to happen. Unfortunately.
That is true.
So,
but what
it's
are the
scary...
women going to do, Marty? What are they going to do? They
right?
feel
that's
trapped.
Why you
gotta, they feel like
you have to share and explain and let
yeah, they
no,
feel like
right.
they
young brothers know, like, no means
this is
no.
the crazy part. That also brings up, Greg,
it's
that
not
brings
that
up
serious.
A crazy, that brings up another situation, though, that might be good for another topic, but maybe not on this show, honestly, though, now that I think about it, is because what happens, like, for example, with Brock Turner. Brock Turner was that young man that was, what did he, violated that young lady so terribly and got, what, 6 months probation or something?
Yeah.
And now you call the police and see what happens. You know, something like that, privilege took over. And you do the same thing to Shaquan or Jermaine. And, you know, Jermaine's doing 15 to 30. And, you know, or what, and another situation that someone else brought up, which is scary as well, is the culpability because, listen, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of, what is lady's last name? I forget her name. Something Mangum. She was the lady that accused the Duke lacrosse players of raping her. Remember that?
At Duke?
Yeah. And she, then they found that she retracted her story, and it was false
right.
allegation. And that ruined so the head coach
that
at Duke. Yeah, the head coach at Duke, he got fired. The lacrosse coach at Duke got fired. The students got kicked off the team.
Lost a scholarship.
Lost their scholarship.
Lost, right.
Out of school. And then all for her to go back and recant her story. So,
I'm
you know,
you
got to be very careful in these situations. You know, by the way, that lady went on later to murder her boyfriend after
what?
That
no.
whole thing happened?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I was watching, Ooh. I don't know if it was First 48 or Snap last night. Mm-hmm. Lauren be having me watching these shows at night. It's kind of weird. I think it was Snap.
Yeah, you need to be careful.
What are your dreams about? Why would you choose
that? I don't
shut that down to my household, too, man. I can't be watching Snap. That's not good.
You're right.
No, I don't mind. It's actually interesting. It's the women that are bugging, and it's just. Yeah.
No,
curiosity,
the men
curiosity
the
homie.
The men, you know, men played it. They feed into it a lot of times too. They play in the game. Play the game, you get whatever.
I'm comfortable with that. Comfortable with a woman playing the games and being more open and free to do what they want to do. Amadi, you want to watch the shows with them? I'm not doing that. I'm not giving my lady any ammunition against me, because that stuff is crazy. She's like, oh, they did this? Oh, they didn't catch him because of that? Okay.
Nah, Well,
I'm not going to ask you the obvious dumb question, but
don't ask
the reason
it
why
don't
I don't worry
it.
I don't worry about these is because I'm usually right here next to her after. I mean, I don't have much of a life except for my kids, so I mean, it's pretty much.
Or
if you know,
I come into town
together.
And we go hang out.
Greg, we hung out. We went to the Meadowlands and bet. Like that was what
we
did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that was the highlight of your visit, bro. Come on, man.
That was fun.
We're old. Yeah, we're officially old.
That was fun.
Get older, that's it.
Then we went to the Cougars den.
The Cougar den.
Then hung out
True.
With Odetta.
And that's where I saw.
And Maida. Maida and Monty. Monty laced us with a tirade of Leo fire.
Yeah, I thought she was going to punch me, dog. Yeah, I thought she was going to punch me, for real.
That's why I don't be ready for Monty that her
hand.
I did this.
Yeah, it was hilarious. I'm like, do it again. She got real up on my grill a couple of times. Looked at me funny. Like, yo, what are you talking about, dude? I'm like, damn. I know you would have
left.
You see, like,
I would have left. I don't want to be no
you
part
left
of that.
Yo, we got 3 minutes left. We got 3 minutes
about?
Left. Let's close out, guys. Give your final thoughts and everything.
Okay. Odetta. I'll go first. All right. So my office. I'm here. So to the ladies out there, just protect yourself. Don't be afraid to speak out. Share your story. It can help someone. Fellas, be conscious of what you do and how you engage and the pressures and the touching that aren't asked for or, you know, co-signed. Does everybody be safe?
I'm going to go now because I'll leave it for Amadi to close out. But, fellas, you got to really, really pay attention to this. You know, you have young ladies out there that really are innocent, and then once you take away that innocence, everything goes downhill. And you're messing it up for the future generations. You're messing up for her husband. You're messing up for her daughters, her sons, so on and so on. We're just having a vicious cycle going on. So please be mindful that you're dealing with a human being with feelings. And if this happened to you, you wouldn't want the same thing to happen to you. So how do you expect a woman to take on that responsibility of all that trauma that you put on them? So please be mindful of that.
I think in closing, this whole situation has definitely raised my awareness in regards to my own personal behavior, as well as the energy that I'm giving off to my children, so that I'm a proper representation of the man that I want them to either be with in terms of my daughters or the man I want them to be in terms of my son. And the other kids that hang out with him and the kids that hang around them as well. You want to continue to be a positive role model. Because they're the future, the kids are the future. I know it sounds corny, but it's the reality. In order to make the change, you have to be the change that you want to see in our children, you know. And you have to be confident and you have to be consistent about that change. For the young ladies, when no means no, and they have to understand that, and they also have to make sure that they can express that and that we can accept that. So with that being said, thank you for listening. Good night. God bless.
Peace out, everybody.
Good night.